Hey, y'all, Scott here. You like coffee? Me too. Hey, if you're a true connoisseur, you need to try an amazing new roaster out of L.A., Tonks Coffee. These guys are fanatical about delivering the best coffee beans in the world. They get the beans directly from the growers, roast them, and then ship them to you within 24 hours so they're as fresh as can be. Tonks is a subscription-only service, and they're offering a free sample to listeners to this show. Give it a try. If you like it, you can sign up. Then every 2 weeks, you get a new batch of incredible coffee beans roasted to perfection. If you're hitting the cafe or drive-thru most mornings, this is a better and more economical way to get great coffee. Go to tonks.org/liberty. That's TONX.org/liberty.
So me and Jim are sitting here talking off the air, and he's dropping these horrible, you know, curse words. No, just one, but it was the big one. And then that reminded me, I actually dreamed that about Jim being on my show and cursing. And me going, oh no, he keeps saying bad words, and I can't make him stop. I'm kind of a kook, I guess. I think I already guessed that, and now it's certain. I'm a kook. All right, well, anyway, Jim still likes me. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, Jim?
Hey, doing good, Scott. I'm sorry that your memories of our past shows are giving you nightmares.
All right, well, you just behave yourself, all right? Well, yeah.
No. Well, hey, I'll try, man, to be a Boy Scout.
Yeah, well, sure. Hey, you guys ought to read all of Jim's books. They're really good. You got the fair trade fraud, and you got the farm fiasco, and you've got lost rights and freedom in chains and terrorism and tyranny, the Bush betrayal, and attention deficit democracy, which is so freaking good, man. You got to read that book. It's so good. And then also his great memoir as well. And then it's right on the tip of my brain, the memoir is Public Policy Hooligan. And he's called that because, and seriously, go check out Jim Bovard's Wikipedia page. You can see the collected denunciations of the heads of virtually every bureaucracy, every federal bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. They absolutely hate this guy's guts, and for good reason. It's because they suck, and he's always writing about it in places where important eyeballs can read, like in the Wall Street Journal, or here, this one is in the Washington Times. Our cluster bomb Congress plants legislative IEDs under unsuspecting American citizens. What are we talking about here? You gave the horrible example here, which I had only seen headlines of and didn't really read up on, but I was glad to see that you covered it here, Jim. What is this?
Well, our cluster bomb Congress refers to how Congress passes these very thick laws, and they're full of hundreds or thousands of different provisions. People don't really pay attention to them, and then years later, it's like they've scattered bombs across the landscape, and like with a cluster bomb, it can be dropped, and 6 months or a year later, you can have children outside playing, the children get too close, the bomb explodes, the kids are maimed or killed. In the same way, you've got these provisions and laws that scatter across the landscape and wreck people's lives.
Yeah.
For instance, there was a one-line provision in the 2008 Farm Bill, which basically waived the statute of limitation for the government going after people they had supposedly overpaid in the past. And because of that, you had you've had federal agencies going after people for debts that were more than 10 years old, often what the government didn't have any evidence that people actually had been overpaid. And in many cases, they were going after children for money that their parents had received, even though their parents had died long ago, and there was no evidence, there was no way to fight it. And what the government would come in here and do is just seize people's tax returns, their state returns, their state income refunds, their federal income tax refunds. And so people would simply get a notice that the government had taken their tax return and put it in its pocket, and it'd be almost impossible to fight this.
Yeah, well, first of all, we've actually covered the cluster bombs laying all over the ground in Laos that
kill
hundreds of people
and
a year
yeah.
on this show. That's a real thing, man. Afghanistan, too, cluster bombs laying around.
Afghanistan, Iraq, the first time I focused on that was in Kosovo.
Yeah.
Because I was absolutely mortified that the U.S. Planes were dropping these cluster bombs on marketplaces in Serbia. It was barbaric. It was serving no military purpose. It was simply to terrorize the Serbians into surrendering Kosovo to the UN and whatever. I was amazed that there was not a far greater backlash by the American media and the American public against the U.S. government, you know, dropping bombs on cluster bombs on marketplaces.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that it's 45 years after the bombings over Laos and that they're still killing hundreds of people every year. You know, farmers,
wow.
And of course, it's little kids that go that pick them up, even though they've been told 10 times, don't ever touch that. What's a little kid do? Pick it up. Huge. And it's a great analogy because, you know, I think for whatever reason, people are just, you know, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. For some reason, maybe it's not the neighbors that you knew that these terrible things happened to, but there's a way, like you mentioned somebody owns some wetlands property or something and the government just comes and pulls out some arcane rule and completely ruins them. There's a certain part of the population, at least, that just assumes some kind of guilt or greed or sin or something on the part of the persecuted here because, you know, sort of like Iraq did with 9/11. Or else, why would we be invading them? Why would the government be clamping down on this rancher or on that, fish farmer or whoever if they weren't really threatening this animal or doing some terrible thing? And people really don't, they just don't recognize the actual suffering. You know, I mean, a cluster bomb is only a little bit dramatic compared to people going to prison, being fined for their entire life savings and more than they'll ever be able to pay in their whole life, their business destroyed, their family maybe split up over it, and this kind of thing. We're talking about the government ruining people's lives. The one shot they got at a life, and a bunch of thug feds coming and having their way with them over nothing. People who aren't criminals, people are just regular people. And so I think it's important to call it like a cluster bomb like that. Like, hey, this matters, man. Even if it's not you or your cousin, it's still somebody, and it ain't fair.
And a part of the what's really nasty about this is that it's done through administrative procedures. And the government simply just seizes the money, puts it in its government accounts, and then the person later sent a notice. And it's very difficult to fight this in court. There was a front-page Washington Post piece on this last Friday, and so on Monday afternoon, the Social Security Administration said it was going to temporarily desist from seizing the debts of people that were debts were more than 10 years old. In many cases, these are debts of alleged debts of parents that the government has passed on to the kids. I'm blindsiding the kids on that. So, the law is still there, and the Social Security could resume this at any time once the media spotlight shifts to someplace else.
Yeah, and now, by the way, on this, when you say overpaid, it sure doesn't sound like there's even an implication of fault here. And then, of course, like you said, no proof required.
Right.
But it's untrue. It's just a claim that they make. But
absolutely. So, and in many cases, you have overpayments that were not due to the first of all, there's a lot of overpayments that probably never happened. And second, a lot of the ones that did happen were probably the fault of the government, not of the person that got the money. But it doesn't matter because the government has this notion that it can go in and just seize people's money for on any reason, and that there's nothing more important than maximizing government revenue.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you could see how they would have a case if we were talking about a one in a million shot where the computer spit out the wrong decimal point. You know, Buttle turned to Tuttle, and somebody accidentally got $10 million dropped into their account for no reason or something. You don't have a right to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's happened to me a couple times with money from Nigeria.
Yeah, no, the government is always giving me $10 million accidentally, too, you know. But, I mean, if it was something like that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I mean, what you're talking about literally sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like something out of East Germany or something, where they're coming to people and saying, listen, we paid your mom too much in the 1970s. She's long dead. We can't prove it. We don't have to prove it. And all your money belongs to us now. And that's Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way the government can seize an unlimited amount of a person's tax return this year and maybe the next year and the following year. It's a good reason to make sure that you don't have a tax refund coming. But it's there's such a brazen contempt for due process here. But a lot of folks don't realize this is how the government plays the game. The same thing happens in asset forfeiture proceedings, where the government comes in and seizes property, and then the innocent owner has got a huge legal and financial burden in order to recapture the property.
Right, yeah, all this civil forfeiture. It's funny, I mean, you know, you can certainly see the bureaucratic interest in it from all agencies at all levels of government, that if there's a way that, you know, I'm sure once somebody got the idea that they could take criminal forfeiture and make it civil and still get away with just basically robbing people all day, that, you know, you can see why they would all want to do nothing but that all day long. But, geez, is it the attention deficit democracy? What is it where that's just the way it is then? If that's the institutional interest, then that's the end of the argument. It seems like there would be some kind of pushback. I mean, I know from personal experience and, like, anecdote-based stuff that there are people who, you know, like the Waco fire or something, civil forfeiture is what really woke them up to the fact that you're not living in the Bill of Rights country you thought you were living in here, man. The things are corrupt and out of control, and how could it be that some poor Honduran lady gets her $50,000 that she worked so hard for and saved up for years to bring home, gets it all nabbed at the airport and can't ever see it again? And when even all sides admit that she probably wasn't really doing anything, but they can do it if they want, and just shrug. I mean, where in the hell is the outrage over civil forfeiture after all this time, after 1,000 examples, 10,000 of innocent people being victimized like this?
Yeah, I mean, this is something which I was embarking on in the early 1990s and sporadically since then, but the horrendous outrages are still occurring, and every now and then there's some media coverage, some very good coverage by some journalists, by some TV stations, and some of the think tanks and legal groups have done great work on this, but this BS keeps going, and it's partly because government profits, and as soon as the government starts profiting, congressmen say, well, wait a minute, you know, here's some money for us to buy a re-election. It's hard to overestimate how complacent congressmen are about government crimes that profit the government.
Stay tuned, and I'm going to come up with some actual good questions for him, and then it's going to be red. JimBovard.com. Hang tight.
Hey, y'all. Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at ScottHorton.org.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with Jim Bovard, JimBovard.com and Amazon.com. He's got a whole bunch of badass books for you there. Really good ones, man, I'm telling you. The most successful libertarian journalist in world history, I'm pretty sure. How do you like that, Jim?
Well, damn, I hope that's not true. I hope someone else has done better.
No way, man.
Well,
kick ass.
Thanks. Yeah. That's very kind.
No, seriously, attention deficit democracy, that thing is a masterpiece. You guys ought to get that. You got to go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show and get Attention Deficit Democracy by James Bovard. It's killer. You'll love it. And it's years out of date now, but that doesn't matter. It's so good. You'll want to hear it. And then, of course, his great new memoir is it's really a riot, too. All these knife fights with all these angry chicks and all this stuff is awesome.
It wasn't a knife fight because I didn't stab back.
Oh, okay, there you go. He was bobbing and weaving. They were stabbing, and he's still alive. So
I got long
right.
arms.
Yeah, he's okay. Anyway, he's got this piece today at the Washington Times. Our cluster bomb Congress plants legislative improvised explosive devices. Arcane laws lie dormant until exploding under unsuspecting Americans. And the thing of it is, it's just like that one guy wrote that one book, Three Felonies a Day, where really, it's just like in the old wives' tale. Any FBI agent could just pick any man off the street that he wants to nail and put in prison, and he can do it. There's no way that you could stop them. You're guilty of mail fraud just for opening your mailbox and receiving junk mail that they mandate you have to receive in the first place or whatever. They can always find something to crucify you if that's what they want to do. And I don't know. I think that maybe more and more people are getting the idea that the laws and all these criminal punishments really aren't necessarily for the criminals and keeping us good guys safe from those bad criminals. But it seems more and more like the state of the bad guys, and all of these laws are here for them to mess with us. If we haven't committed a crime, that's all right. They'll find an offense. They'll find a line we've crossed somewhere, some edict somewhere. And so, I don't know, can you give us some more examples of these, of, you know, regular people caught up in this kind of arcane rules and regulations that lead to such severe consequences, Jim?
Well, Scott, something I was waiting to hear you announce that you were planning to move to Colorado.
You know, I tried that once, and I hated it there, to tell you the God's honest truth.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
One more state. We'll mark off the Scott Horton list.
Maybe Washington, though. It's beautiful up there.
Yes, and folks are friendly, and there's lots of elbow room, and if you love rain, you know, you can't find much more of it than up there. So there's a lot of different examples, and it's fascinating that the government's always creating new laws in spite of the failure of the old laws to make things better. But folks still have this notion that we have freedom because we've got freedom under the law. But what that means nowadays is simply to be freedom to be fleeced by federal agencies or by federal agents who decide to commandeer your car or your other assets to file charges against you, which will bleed you financially dry to fight. And there's so many different trump cards that government has right now, and it's unfortunate. It's interesting. I've heard talk about how this is a libertarian moment, how the tide is shifting. I'm thinking, like, you know, I don't see a lot of vacancies in federal prisons right now. I don't see a bunch of layoffs at the FBI or local police. I don't see the government cutting back the number of criminal laws, and it's nice that there are some at least surface changes, but I'm puzzled why so many folks are trying to claim a victory for libertarianism when the government has become far more punitive and is light years worse than even it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of that is just that right-wingers pretend to love liberty when Democrats are in power. But
that's
part
of it, yep.
We saw the same act in the 1990s, so we remember who our pseudo-friends were and then who they really became, you know, after when Bush was in power and they, you know, joined up with the Ashcroft Brigades. So
went to the other side of the barricades, a lot of them did.
Yep, and so, you know, it's great to have them back for the short term, but you can't really count them as real allies. Most of the time. Although, you know, it seems like we have reached a critical mass on some things from a libertarian point of view. We were talking about on the show earlier about gay rights and how even, I guess, young evangelicals anyway, according to the polls, are for gay marriage by, you know, in a majority anyway. I don't know about some, you know, super majority or anything, but at least by a simple majority are for gay marriage, which, it, you know, that's, you know, a lot of progress, I think, to have right-wingers basically going ahead and shrugging and decided that they don't really mind after all. They thought they did, but maybe they really don't, kind of thing. It seems like maybe that's reached a real tipping point. And you mentioned Colorado there. It seems like, I mean, come on, for so long, everyone has known that pot should be legal and that we're up against Leviathan, and Leviathan wants to keep it illegal, and so it's going to continue being illegal forever, like the Soviet Union is going to last forever kind of thing. And yet here we've actually begun to see the end of the war on pot, perhaps anyway, the beginning of the end of it, and it's become the kind of thing where it's now more of an open consensus. So I think, you know, it's possible that we can make some real headway. And after all, the war on drugs is at the root of so much of what's wrong here as far as the old rules that they've been allowed to bend so far that they've broken, you know, when it comes to what they're allowed to do to us.
Yeah, and it's great that the war on drugs looks like it's winding down. It never should have wound up to get rolling 30 years ago. But it's just to see the number of legal trump cards the government now has, something as simple as that, the audacity that that Congress would pass a provision that waived the statute of limitations for debt debt collection and sets free federal agencies to go after people for the alleged debts of their parents decades earlier. This perfectly captures Congress's attitude of due process and fair play for the American people.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a question of what's good for the federal agencies.
Yeah, and you know, you put in here in this article too that this is a while back, right? This has been building. It's only now becoming a political scandal where it's making the news and anybody's making a big deal out of it. But they've collected, what do you say, 400 and something million dollars worth of these taxes from regular people, you know, while the billionaires are bailed out and everyone else is suffering. They come, $424 million in debts that they've collected since 2011. And people with their congressmen refusing to help them this whole time.
Yeah, and there was an excellent story in Chicago last year by the NBC station, which said that thanks to that 2008 provision, anyone overpaid by a federal agency at any time in their life can now be tracked down and put on the hook for debts that are decades old. That summarized the problem perfectly, but nobody in Washington, D.C. paid attention.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's really cruel, too. I mean, it sounds like something out of a TV show, not something real, you know? Sounds like something some idiot politician in some TV drama, some low-rent TV drama proposes, and then it's explained to him that you can't do that, dude. That's gonna look real bad. I guess you say in here, though, no one had to take responsibility for it, right? All congressmen deny having anything to do with this language.
Right, right. But this has happened with so many other laws where there's some very controversial provision, and no one on Capitol Hill admits having written it. And there's all this weaseling and, slipping around. But how the hell can we have a rule of law? We don't even know who wrote the damn law.
Yep. Hey, by the way, have you heard of this thing where, I don't know if they actually, no, I think they did introduce some legislation. This congressman wrote an essay in USA Today saying he wanted to roll back militarism on the local police level, and he wanted to start, I mean, it wasn't any kind of complete reform by any means, but he wanted to at least begin rolling back Pentagon giveaways to local police and sheriff's departments around the country. And I wonder whether you had heard of that. And especially whether you had heard that anybody else thought it was a good idea, because it's sort of like the legalization of pot still taking me kind of by surprise. That really took me by surprise as a thing that I just thought would never happen. It sure would be nice to see any kind of pushback on militarization. I just didn't think I would live to see it, you know, and here it looks like a little.
Yeah, but there has been pushback on militarization. There was pushback in the 1990s at times. And it's been sporadic, and I'm glad that some people are pushing back at this point. I don't really see it's going to change that much. And part of it, too, at some point, the feds have given so many armor, military-type equipment, Humvees, whatever, to local police. It doesn't really matter that much if the government stops giving more, because they're already armed to the teeth.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Basically, what you need is a sea change in cultural attitudes as far as how police are allowed to behave and treat other Americans. And there are some signs of a backlash growing. It's great with folks with their video cameras and with their cell phones and stuff are doing a great job and a courageous job of challenging that. But it's amazing how much worse it's gotten even in the last 10 years as far as the cops acting so brazenly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was talking with Robert Higgs, and he was saying that it's a really extraordinary confluence of the kind of unleashing of police brutality on everyone, the way they've treated blacks all along, for example, right at the same time that everybody has a HD camera in their pocket. Everybody has an HD camera in their pocket. And so, and then access to YouTube and to all the social media, especially on Facebook, where, you know, if you have a few thousand friends on Facebook, you don't even have to be a libertarian, pretty much no matter who you are. If you have a whole lot of friends that you're interacting with on there, you're going to see basically what happens is every local police abuse story becomes a national story, whether Brian Williams or whoever covers it or not. It becomes a national news story in social media every time a cop is caught beating or killing somebody on camera like that. And so it's kind of a pretty big experiment. You know, here these guys are the worst they've ever been, right at the time where we have the most ability, not to hold them accountable, but to see, you know, in fact, maybe that goes along with how bad they are and how little accountability they have, right at the same time that we have this much ability to see what it is that they're doing. And I guess it'll be interesting to see exactly how that plays out. It pisses me off, and it terrifies me, frankly, that, you know, and I know people who have been the subject of SWAT raids back in the past, and that doesn't sound like any kind of fun time at all, you know, to have to go through something like that, you know?
Well,
and you don't have to be doing anything to get one either. That's the thing of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough being woken up early as it is.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome to my world, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's encouraging that folks are doing that, and some of the groups like Cop Block and others are doing great work. It's surprising there's not been a hell of a lot more of a backlash and some leashes put on the cops already. So, I don't know. And if there's cops, it's interesting how they're always looking for a pretext to ramp up the power even more. I think back to 9/11, and it's amazing how much power they seize so quickly. Habeas corpus, torture, you know, making wars wherever they want. Boom.
Yep. All right. Well, I just realized that we're way over time and we got to go. But thank you so much for your time. It's great to talk to you again, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Scott. It's a real pleasure.
All right, everybody. That is the great Jim Bovard. JimBovard.com for his blog and all his stuff. He's a shutterbug, too. He's got a lot of great pictures for you if you want to check it all out there. And check him out on Amazon.com. The Fair Trade Fraud, The Farm Fiasco, Freedom in Chains, Feeling Your Pain, Terrorism and Tyranny, The Bush Betrayal, Attention Deficit Democracy, and Public Policy Hooligan, all a bunch of great work and good food for your brain. Check out James Bovard at Amazon.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by ScottHorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world, except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at ScottHorton.org or go to ScottHorton.org/Amazon. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future of Freedom Foundation. Edited by libertarian purist Sheldon Richmond, The Future of Freedom brings you the best of our movement. Featuring articles by Richmond, Jacob Hornberger, James Bovard, and many more, The Future of Freedom stands for peace and liberty and against our criminal world empire and Leviathan state. Subscribe today. It's just $25 per year for the back pocket size print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's The Future of Freedom at fff.org/subscribe. Peace and freedom. Thank you. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck.